Hello, welcome to Quarantined with the Good Graces. Quarantined is an interview podcast that focuses on staying creative, present, and connected during these unsettled and isolating times. I'm your host, Kim Ware of the Good Graces, and today in episode 4 of Quarantined, I'm talking with the ever-talented Juliana Finch, a songwriter from Durham, North Carolina. Juliana and I talked about all sorts of stuff, including the importance of connection and community, her recent return to college, religion and art, creativity during the pandemic, and how it's so okay if you're not making things during this time. Things we miss in new parts of our lives that we hope to hold on to post-pandemic, esoteric art, and much more. I had a lovely time catching up with Juliana, and I hope something from our conversation resonates with you, too. You can support this and my other musical-related endeavors by becoming a patron. In fact, patrons that contribute $10 or more each month get the unedited video versions of these quarantined chats. You can become a patron for as little as a dollar a month, and I appreciate any and all contributions, so thanks in advance for checking it out at patreon.com/kimware. Now, on with the episode.
I don't know you. So I met you years ago in Atlanta. You were, establishing yourself as a singer-songwriter there. But now you're in one of my favorite places, and that's Durham, North Carolina.
I love it here. I love it here.
You do. That's awesome. Gosh, 5 years already.
I know. Almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in April.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Man. It doesn't feel like it. It's very strange.
Yeah. It's time to get older.
But I love it here. I love North Carolina.
Yeah.
I miss Atlanta people. I miss, mm-hmm. our music buddies and a lot of my friends, but I don't miss the traffic.
Yeah. I miss it a lot. All of it, honestly. I loved it so much, but it's nice to be back in North Carolina too. And I love Durham. I've got some good friends around there, and I've been a Duke fan since I was born. So I think it's like that campus is so beautiful and just love spending time there. So hopefully
it's really pretty to walk around.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
The garden there too.
Yeah. Hopefully I can get back there. We say that a lot. Like when you and I talk, it's like, hopefully we can see each other in person.
I know, because you moved here and then this all went down.
I know. So I kind of want to just jump into some recent stuff that you've done. So I got to know you better through a songwriting group that you ran for a little bit in Atlanta that I participated in. And I think I got into that through our mutual friend, John McNicholas. And then recently I was a guest on your kind of virtual meetup that you do for your Patreon subscribers, right?
Yeah, and it's through my friends Arcana, who are a local bar here that are, they offer a lot of cultural events normally when they're able to be open. And so they've been doing a lot of virtual events since the thing.
Right, of course. Yeah. But it seems like, so it's like the my interactions with you, it's all through like community things. It seems like you're always like connecting people. And is that something that you've always just been into?
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that, because I've been thinking a lot about that even just the last couple of weeks, where I think it's something that I've done unconsciously.
Okay.
In the past, it's just something I gravitate toward, and not even like, it's not part of my, conscious mission statement or plan or anything, but I've been doing a lot of work around the new year and like figuring out what I wanted to do this year and really wanting to do that kind of thing more consciously, because it is something that I naturally gravitate toward doing and that I really love. And it's honestly my favorite part of performing, is connecting with people and with audiences more so than, I joke a lot that I don't want people to look at me. I don't actually like being the center of attention. But I like having community around me and creating community and creating space for people to connect with each other. And that's kind of more important to me than I think I even realized until the last couple of years.
That's really cool. I love that. And I love like seeing people that, are really kind of intentionally trying to do that. Cause I think that's so important. And it's obviously it's always been important. It seems really important now, because right, it's like, you know, it takes more of an effort to be connected. And I was curious, like, how do you think this community, does it affect your songwriting? Does it inspire your songwriting in any way? Or have you ever really thought about that?
I think it does in the context of, I feel like I have to be out in the world in order to have things to write about. I used to joke that I'm a professional eavesdropper. You know, you just like watch people interact. I love to people watch. I love to see how people interact with each other. And I'm not particularly extroverted. I can extrovert for my job, but I really am kind of a wallflower when I go to a public place because I like to observe people. But I think this combination of being social and being out in the world and then being out in nature and then being alone, you know, to process those things are definitely both sides of my process.
That's super cool. Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing, like all the inspiration that one can get just by like going to a coffee shop, you know, just doing something where you wouldn't think like, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to write this amazing song for it, because it kind of doesn't work that way. But like just things that you see that like unintentionally, like just really become very present in your creative work. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And when I feel stuck, I love to like go to an art museum or look at, that's a type of art that's not the type of art I normally do, or read a fiction book. You know, I try to like get out of just the songwriting world.
For sure. So what are you like currently, what are you into, like musically or otherwise? Like how do you spend your days? What are you absorbing as far as like art or whatever?
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of stuff about the excavations at Saqqara, the Saqqara tombs in Egypt. There are a couple documentaries that are out now, and then some of those artifacts are going to be going around to museums in the next couple of years. And I'm into that. I think that's super cool. Yeah. I've actually been taking a lot of classes because I decided to use pandemic time to finish my undergraduate degree. So I have a lot of school that awesome. I'm doing, but I love it. You know, it's so funny. If you told 18-year-old me, like, you're going to love school, I'd be like, okay, buddy. But that's been really good. It takes up a lot of time, but it's also getting to read stuff I might not read or be exposed to normally.
Sure. What are you studying?
I will be double majoring in religious studies and history.
Wow.
So comparative religions and history.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really exciting. I love religiously connected like art, like the way it connects with art history and looking at like the medieval church and all of that stuff. There's some really cool art connected with all different religions, and just seeing how they express themselves that way is exciting for me.
That's really cool. Yeah. I'm not a big history buff, but my husband is, and he's really into like the Mayan architecture.
Oh, yeah, the Maya is so cool. Like, so cool.
Right? Incredible. Like mind-blowing. And like from me, someone who I've never been particularly interested in that, but we went to Chichen Itza.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was probably about 10 years ago. We went to Tulum. We were staying in Tulum, and we took just one of those like day tours where we went there, and we went to this little town. I can't remember the name of the little town near it. And then we went and like jumped in one of the cenotes, like all that in one day. Right. Well, and Chichen Itza was something like Mark, my husband, could not wait. Like that was a big part of the trip to him. And for me, it was just like, okay, Mark wants to do this, so we're going to do this. Right. Yeah. It blew my mind. I mean, I was just like, it really made you feel just kind of like, made me feel like just this little kid. I was so blunt. It's just, I don't even have words for it. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. So
visiting ancient sites like that can really put into perspective that people who predate us by hundreds or thousands of years are also just people. Like I always am there standing there thinking like, there was a person standing here, you know, 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago.
Yeah.
and just a person, like going to the market or doing your thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, being able to visit those sites is incredible. And to realize that they really were not very different from us, even though we have different technologies and we sort of think we're super advanced. Mm-hmm. The things that people were able to do back then were also really advanced because they did them without a lot of the technologies that we have now.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you're right, because I remember something that we saw there, they were explaining, like the tour guide guy was talking about how, you know, some sport that they would play and like this was where they would play it. And just, yeah, just kind of like the normal stuff. And yeah, when you were saying that, I thought about it too. It's like what's neat about it also is that we are seeing like something that has stood the test of time for so long. Because especially, you know, being from living in a city for so long, you know, and so much being like, you know, well, this was built, if the building is old, it was maybe built 50 years ago or, yeah, you know, it's just like, it's,
yeah,
that's what really blew me away. It's just like, just how long that had been there. And yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I think anybody, if you have the means and ability to go check that out, it's wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah,
cool.
It's cool. I haven't been there, but I've gotten to go to some other sites that are, yeah, it just, like you said, mind-blowing.
It really is. That's cool. Very cool. Anything else that you're like digging here recently?
Oh gosh,
I guess school probably takes up a lot of your time. You said you're taking a lot of classes right now, right?
I am taking a lot of classes right now. I'm taking 18 credits, which, if you're a college student watching this, don't do that. Don't do
it. Right?
I'm doing it because I have to right now, but recommend.
Yeah.
I'm lucky that right now I don't have that much in terms of like touring and other stuff that I have to be organizing.
Right.
So it's given me a chance to take more credit, and I don't even have to commute. So it's given me a chance to do more than I would have done. But in the fall, I'm going to take it easy after the semester.
It's
easier, you know, maybe like 12 or 14.
Right. Are you doing summer or are you going to take the summer off?
I'm not going to do summer.
Good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you're doing it. I'm in grad school. I'm taking two classes.
That's a lot for grad school though, because those are very intensive.
It's a lot. It's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
A lot. So yeah. Cool. So I'm curious, is there anything being like so creative and social and kind of, you know, out there with your music and everything, is there anything other than the obvious and bringing everything online, but is there anything else that you've found that you need to do differently just to continue to be creative, and or has it just become such a part of your life that's just always there that you just find a way to do it anyway, or are you doing it as much since you're in school?
It has been really hard, and I want to say that because I want people who are listening or watching to know that, like, if they've had a hard time making stuff during this, like, yes, that makes total sense. You know, you do not have to be writing a novel right now.
Sure.
I would say the first few months were fine because I think it hadn't set in how much of an interruption it was going to be, and I'm very good in like short-term crisis, like let's get the thing done mode.
Yeah.
And the longer it went on, the more it was like, oh no. So I would say like summertime, going into late summer was really hard, and I didn't make anything. I didn't do anything. Yeah. I hardly even played. I played a few shows here and there, but I just didn't do anything. I just let myself off the hook a little bit and let myself exist. Mm-hmm. And it's not until the last couple months that I really have gotten excited about doing stuff again. Yeah. And I think it's because I've normalized the process a little bit more and gotten back out of that rut. But I think the biggest thing was just giving myself permission to not do more. I saw so many of my friends like suddenly doing more during pandemic and as a service to their audience and to people, and like the artists have really been holding people together during this, doing a lot of stuff online, and I admire it so much, but I just didn't have it in me to do more than my usual amount. One thing that we did do that really kind of saved me was that in October my trio quarantined. We all live in separate states, so we quarantined separately, and then we went for a long weekend retreat, band retreat, at a little farmhouse in central Virginia. So we kind of met in the middle of all of us.
That's great.
And we recorded a couple songs and we made some videos. But honestly, like the goal was just to be together and get to play music together and make breakfast and hang out as though we were on tour, like the kind of thing we normally would do. And it was so great. And I think that really helped get me out of that stuck period, was having time with my bandmates and just figuring out how to make it happen safely for everybody and in a way that felt good. And that was great. Like that really, I think we're going to try to do that again in a couple.
That's awesome.
That was back in October. But yeah, not having my buddies, you know, I don't like to play by myself as much as I do with my band, and not having my buddies around is hard.
Yeah, it's hard, and it's funny. I mean, I think breaks can be really beneficial. It's hard if you would like to be doing something, but you feel like you just can't. And so then it's kind of like this break that you didn't choose to take, but that was probably really beneficial for you. And I hit a wall around the same time, late summer, and same as you, like for the first probably 2 months of this, I was like, I'm an introvert. I could do the like staying at home, working from home, wearing whatever I want to within reason during the, you know, just like I was kind of embracing it, and I was really okay, like more than okay with it really. And then I think it was around my birthday. Well, yeah, maybe it was earlier in the summer. Then it was around my birthday, which is in June, or a little after it, where I just like I hit this wall. And it was funny because I was talking to my therapist, and I'm generally like a pretty happy, upbeat person, despite my love for sad songs and stuff.
Same.
Yeah, but I was talking to my therapist, and I was like, I'm just so, 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 so sad. And she was just kind of like, yeah, I was wondering when this was going to happen for you. And she was just kind of like, I've been waiting. But same thing. I mean, she told me, you know, it's like, you got to give yourself permission to just, and just allow yourself to that space for whatever it is, especially when it's like a friggin' worldwide crisis, you know.
And
I mean, she had me do something, which some people might think that this is, it was funny that she suggested this. It was really helpful. It wasn't what I would think. I tend to want to see the positive in most everything, you know. And so I would think like someone giving me advice might say like, well, just think of all the ways you've benefited during this time or whatever. But she was like, I want you to write down everything that has happened to you, like this, I think this year or something, you know. And it was the longest list, you know. And it was like, I mean, because some of it was personal stuff I was dealing with. Sure. Some of it was, I was like, well, I mean, I also included like the George Floyd things. And she said, yes, like that's happening to all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was really helpful, because it's like I think at that point I really just kind of gave myself a break, and I just like lowered my standards for existence, really.
Yeah, because we all are experiencing this collective. We're not on a writer's retreat, y'all. Like everything, we're all experiencing collective grief. Like this isn't a vacation, you know. It's not a break in the sense, and also it's not a break from people's normal day jobs, because they're working from home. Like so many people are working harder because they're also, you know, they've got kids that they have to do Zoom school with, and they've got like all this stuff they have to manage. It's not at all a break, you know. And I think people are beating themselves up for not doing more in some ways, mm-hmm. when we're all doing a lot just by existing right now.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, and if the answer is nothing at all, that's totally fine. But like, is there anything new that you've picked up during this time? A new habit, a new routine, a new like interest, anything at all that you do hope you can carry on with
post-pandemic? I bought a banjo for myself a couple of years ago that I never touched.
Okay.
So I have been trying to play with that a little bit and like teach myself that a little bit. I don't know if I'll ever play it in front of human beings, but you know, I like the sound of a banjo, so it's fun to play with. And I've been trying to teach myself a little bit more about recording. I'm very impatient with recording software. And I also love the experience of going into a studio.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing. And so I've never really gotten super into production, like self-producing, but I've been trying to teach myself a little bit just, you know, in case I want to release something.
Sure.
That I need to record in my house for something. Yeah. So that's where we are. And I've also just tried to get back into like hiking more. I used to do that all the time. And for a while, I just wasn't moving around that much. And just being outside and being in nature more is kind of keeping me sane. Mm-hmm. And I've been letting myself write non-music things a lot more so that I'm not, because I work better on music when I can collaborate with people.
Yeah.
And so I've been focusing more on poetry and some essays and other personal stuff more.
That's great. Yeah. It's interesting to just think about when you are forced to figure out just how to live, you know, and it's like, because there's certain things, yeah, that I've done because it's like, I'm trying to do all I can to stay healthy. And so like I picked up running, which I haven't done in about a week now though. And I was doing it about every day or every other day. It just got cold here.
It got really cold.
Yeah, it got really cold. And yeah, that's been tough to get out and do that. But I was really surprised that I even did it to start with, because I had always hated it. And it was just one day I was just super stressed out. And I was listening to a podcast with the Nagashi sisters.
Nagoski.
Nagoski.
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah. And they were just talking about like when you're that stress response, and they were saying, you know, things to do. And I think the first thing that they suggested was like something physical. Mm-hmm. And like almost immediately I was like, okay, I'm going running. And it helped me like almost immediately.
Yeah, they call that completing the stress cycle.
Exactly. Like
yeah, I do their little like jumping. I'll do jumping jacks in place. Oh, very cool. I'm freaked out. Like, okay, I'm gonna complete the stress cycle, and I'll just do jumping jacks.
You know, it's great. You know, and it's I mean, I hope I will. I've been more physically active through all of this, because I think I just had to. Hopefully, I can keep that going. My husband and I just finished the we did the yoga with Adrian, like 30 day thing that started January 1st. It was amazing. It was great.
I needed one more credit to finish my semester. And so I signed up for a yoga class.
Nice.
Specifically because I was like, I will need, like having the time that is like, it's an act. I'm getting graded on it. So I have to do it.
Yeah, that's great.
I can't
great.
Tell myself like, oh, I'll do yoga tomorrow. Like I absolutely have to do it. You know, awesome. A couple times a week. And I'm really bad at it, but I've been really grateful for it.
That's amazing. I love that. Cause yeah, I mean, I've done it for a while, but I got really, really, really lazy with my practice. And so this, I'm definitely a big fan, big believer in the yoga with Adrienne. She's got a huge following.
I've heard great things about her. Yeah. I've never done one of her videos, but a lot of my friends have, and they love it.
Yeah, it was great. Cause it's like, it pushed me kind of like just enough, you know, where I wasn't like, this is too hard, this sucks, I'm not doing it. But it was enough to where it's like, okay, I feel like with each session, pretty much every one, like, it's like, oh, okay, I did something like a little, like a pose that I wasn't used to doing, or another one that she had us do before. And I noticed, oh, well, today it was a little easier or whatever. And so it's, I could see that sense of accomplishment, which was nice. Yeah. Yeah. That's been great. So what about, after all this is done, what was the first thing you're looking forward to doing?
Oh gosh. A couple of things that I didn't necessarily know I was going to miss that are like extremely specific, which are being in a movie theater at a comedy with other people and like hearing a crowd of people around you laugh. Yeah. You know, I love that. I'm going to go to whatever comedy movie gets released first.
I love that idea.
And then I also have missed this sort of micro social interactions of people that aren't necessarily, I mean, we have to work really hard to see our friends and mm-hmm. and try to make, you know, outdoor socially distant things happen. But I haven't had a silly conversation with a barista or a bartender or, you know, a person that's not necessarily on the friend level, but somebody I would see regularly.
Yeah.
And I miss those people. I miss those people who are like a regular part of my life. Servers and, you know, the people that you interact with a little bit every day that now we don't really see very much at all.
Right.
I find myself when I, you know, catch the delivery person or I'm getting my curbside groceries and they are loading it into the trunk, I'm very exuberant with being like, aww, hey, how are you? Are you having a good day? And I'm like, oh, wow, I actually am missing these little conversations more than I would have expected to, because I've been working hard to try to stay in touch with friends in various ways, but it's those other people in our lives that are also, that also make up our social world that I kind of miss. So I want to go, like, you know, have a chit chat with a bartender.
Yeah. That sounds amazing. I like that little stuff too. Like, I mean, again, I'm not like super outgoing, but sometimes when all of the sudden you have this, like, even if it's not really deep, just this really pleasant, just really fun conversation with somebody that you barely know. I mean, it's like, it can really like kind of lift your spirits and change the tone of your day, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, we're missing that for sure. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I did choke. Well, hopefully that's maybe a few months or so out. And start doing
so too. Seems like there's a vaccine plan forming, so
yeah well, that's good. So this is something new that I like to ask my guest. Because I'm into words, as you are also into words, so I've been checking, trying to remember to check each day to see what the word of the Merriam-Webster word of the day is.
Oh my gosh.
So today's words is actually, it's not as uncommon as a lot of their words. Today's word is esoteric.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is a pretty cool word, right? And I find it, like, it's intriguing to me because, like, what's esoteric can also be, like, commonplace to the people that are really into it, you know? And so I was trying to think of, like, I was like, well, what's something esoteric? And I thought about, like throat singing. You know, I think people would probably consider that like esoteric, but to the throat singer, it's just what they do. And I was going to ask if you have any, I mean, you've already kind of named one with the ancient art and stuff, but do you have any, although I don't know if that's really esoteric, do you have any esoteric interest or art? Do you have any, like, something esoteric that you are interested in possibly being interested in?
Honestly, my main thing that it's like my primary interest, which I think most people probably find esoteric, is mythology in general. Mm. I'm really into Celtic mythology, specifically because it's extremely complicated. It's a lot of drama. It's very complicated.
Yeah.
But yeah, my whole life I've been interested in all kinds of mythology. My first favorite book, I'm looking over here because I want to see if I have it. I do have it. Hold on. Cool. I grabbed it. My first favorite book when I was a kid is this book of Greek myths. And it has, like, I mean, I've had this since 88, I guess. No, gosh. 85. It has all these watercolors in it.
You're blowing my mind. Your first favorite book. Wow.
The Baby Hermes. Yeah, holy, but cow. Let's see. It doesn't have the date in here, but I've probably had it since I was 3 or 4. So this, it's gone way back. But just the sort of collective story and patterns and storytelling and myth and the way that people keep our collective histories alive, you know, through through mythology, is fascinating to me. And I love comparing different cultures and how their myths are similar or dissimilar, what that says about them.
Totally makes sense. Like, that seems to be a common theme in the things that you're really passionate about, right? It's like those kind of ancient things and how they've somehow managed to, they still exist, whether it's like, in art or in stories or
Yeah, and we as humans keep telling the same stories, you know, because they're important to us, you know, they're important to us on a deeper level than just entertainment.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in that, of how those stories connect us and why these same things come up, and thinking about stuff like that. So yeah, that can be esoteric to some people. It takes up a lot of my brain space.
That's great. I mean, that's better than, better. And sometimes I like mindless entertainment, so I would think that seems a little more impressive.
I also like mindless entertainment. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
I mean, mythology has a wonderful place in a lot of mindless entertainment. I love shows that have like vampires and werewolves and witches in them.
Oh God, have you seen the What We Do in the Shadows?
I love it. It's one of my favorite shows ever.
Dude.
I love the movie, and the series is amazing.
I haven't seen the movie, but my husband and I got into the series. We just finished it. I think they're going to do another season soon.
Yeah.
Great. We love it.
Yeah, the series is such a great, it's very rare that you see a series that is so true to the spirit of the original source material.
Mm-hmm.
And the series is, if you love the series, you will love the movie. Like, the movie is absolutely a delight. I've seen it many times.
Really? Okay. We'll have to see the movie soon.
Yeah, but the series is excellent. I love it. It's so fun.
God, what?
I thought about dressing up as Nadja for Halloween.
I love her. God, my is it? I'm trying to remember which one of the men. Her husband is Laszlo, right? Is her husband Laszlo? Where's her husband?
Oh gosh. I can't remember their names right now. Anyway, I think so. I think you're right.
I think so.
It's Matt Berry's character. The actor's Matt Berry.
Okay. My husband does. He's so good at impersonations. He does a really, really good Laszlo. And sometimes I try to do. Is it not Nadja?
Yeah.
And the only one I had any success with, I won't be able to do it now. But I loved this scene where, God. No, I'm not going to remember it correctly. She was talking about the shit. It was something Colin said about a card. Did he say he was a wild card maybe or something? But she was like, no, you're like the card on the top that has the instructions that people throw away.
I love that they always call him Colin Robinson.
Yes, exactly.
Full name, like his Colin Robinson.
Colin Robinson. Yeah, my husband found something on Adult Swim recently that he's in also.
Oh, nice.
And already, even though, you know, I only had became familiar with him like about a month ago, already it was just like, it's hard to see him. And so you just look at him and it's like, that's Colin Robinson.
Yeah, that show's brilliant. Great.
It really, really is. Yeah, highly recommend that for sure. Something funny. Awesome. Very cool. Well, Juliana, tell people like where, if people want to hear your music, if people want to follow you on your socials, where can I send them to? I'll put it in the notes.
Yeah, my website is julianafinch.com, and there's music on Spotify and iTunes and all the places, the usual places. On social media, I'm mostly on Twitter these days. I'm at Write Play Repeat, which I've had since 2000. When did Twitter start? 2005.
Yeah, I've seen you have had it for a long time.
Very long time. So yeah, I love talking to people there. Please find me there. I sometimes rant about medieval church art and mythology on there too.
Great. Awesome.
And I have a Patreon, patreon.com/JulianaFinch. I do patron only meetings once a week, like writing and accountability meetups. Mm-hmm. And as you know, there's songwriting meetups and songwriting classes. And I do a patron show once a month.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Yeah, definitely check it. It's funny. I think I thought I had supported your Patreon already, and I did. Right before we jumped on this call, I became a patron. So highly recommend that, because I just kind of scrolled through really quick. You've been on there for a long time. You were an early adopter, it looks like.
Yeah, because I love to joke with people that I kickstarted something before Kickstarter. Nice. My very first EP in 2004 was crowdfunded through LiveJournal.
Holy cow, really?
Yeah. That's so awesome. I've been doing this online musician thing for a while.
Wow.
And doing online shows since you could really do it. I've used all of the different platforms at different mm-hmm. points. And
yeah.
I mean, not they're always coming out with new things.
Of course. So. Yeah.
I haven't figured out Twitch yet. I have a Twitch, but I'm just, okay. I feel like I'm not young enough to totally get the Twitch thing. I'm going to work on it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I've been on the internet for a long time and my people are on the internet. I love internet people. So come awesome. Find me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go find her and always doing something. And when you're not doing something, it's because you are taking 18 hours of classes. So
yeah. Don't do it, y'all. No.
Right. Well, cool. I appreciate your time so much. And it was good to see you. And I look forward to it being in person.
Yeah. And this podcast is such a great idea. Thank you for doing it. I'm looking forward to it. I listened to two of the episodes earlier. I'm looking forward to catching up on the other. I think there are two more that are out.
There's this will be the fourth. So
this will be the fourth. Okay. So there's one more that I got to get.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for listening. Cool. All right. Well, take care.
All right.
I'll talk to you again soon. All right. See ya. Bye.
Marionettes on a string. Warm something, give a wiggle. They come a running when you ring. You tied your knot around me, but I slipped that flimsy thing. You try your best to ground me, but I keep on taking wings. Lay me down by the river. Bring you back and bring your storms. You are burden, not deliver. One of us will take the long way. As fear, wrote my name in salt and ashes, lilac flower and a lover's tear. You cast your pain in circles, you wanna make it disappear. One.
I am quite seriously fangirling out after hearing that song. That was amazing. That was Salt from Juliana Finch from her awesome album entitled Way Down. So do check her out. I had a great time talking with her today. You can find her online again at julianafinch.com. She's on Twitter and a lot of the other socials under WRITE Play Repeat. And be sure to check out her Patreon as well. She's super active over there. She's been on there for years. Patreon.com/JulianaFinch. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Keep